Good morning, church. I'm always glad to stand up and share the word of the Lord with you. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Michael. I'm always grateful to this wonderful Father. The Lord bless us all. I'm so happy today, though I haven't started smiling yet. Amen. All right, so without wasting time, I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, I'm going to read from verse 8 to 15. Today I'm reading from ESV. The Bible reads, "And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots and came as far as Maresha. And Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of the battle in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, 'O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you.' So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gera, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah carried away very much spoil, and they attacked all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. And they struck down the tents of those who had livestock and carried away sheep in abundance and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem." Let me read three verses from chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7 to 10. The Bible says, "At that time, Hanan the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord ran to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars.' Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time." Praise the Lord. Let me read up to 12. "The acts of Asa from first to last are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from the physicians." Praise the name of the Lord. This morning, I would like to talk about what I've entitled, "Relying on the Lord." Relying on the Lord. Of course, the title is very clear. I've drawn it from the portion of scripture that I've read from. We have heard the Bible is giving us a story of one of the famous kings of Judah by the name of Asa. This man became the king at a tender age. And then the Bible tells us in verse 1 that in all the days, when he became the king, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then because of that, God granted him peace in the land. He had no wars for a certain period of time. And then he commanded the people to say, okay, because God has given us rest at this time, let us begin to fortify our cities. Let's build the walls and fortify it, since the Lord has given us peace. And soon after that, from where I began to read in verse 8, the Bible tells us that the Ethiopians arose to attack Judah. And the Bible has given us the number of the soldiers which each nation had. Judah at this time had the total number of 580,000 soldiers. And then the Ethiopians had 1 million soldiers. So we can do the statistics, the difference, and we'll understand. And so this is, the NIV uses the word the vast army. So they came upon Judah, ready to attack. And the Bible says that Asa was afraid, and he chose to rely on the Lord. So he began to pray to God to say, oh Lord, are you not the God who is able to help the weak? You are able to fight against the mighty in order to defend the weak. Come and help us. Come to our aid. And the Bible says that God indeed heard his prayer. With his 580,000, he went and he drew the battle line. They advanced against 1 million. And they attacked them, plundered them, and rooted them out. They started running away. They pursued them all the way, and none of them remained alive, according to what we've read, because the Lord was involved. Of course, they took all the plunder, and they came back, I believe, singing the victory. Hallelujah, King Asa has won the victory. And soon after that, in chapter 16, we are going to hear that the brother, not really the brother, but because they are of the same nation, the brother, the king of Israel, by the name of Baasha. Now, Asa was the king of Judah, which consisted of 2 tribes in the southern kingdom, and Israel consisted of 10 tribes on the northern kingdom. Now, Baasha at this time was the king of Israel, because Asa had brought revival of breaking down all the altars that were dedicated to the idols, and there was revival that was going on in Judah. A lot of people began to defect from Israel, coming to join Judah. And this was not going well with King Baasha, because he saw that people are leaving me now. My kingdom is going to be deserted. So he decided to go and began to build a barrier in Ramah, a border, trying to do some immigration so that his people could not go in or go out. And the Bible says that this posed a threat to King Asa. Now, look at how funny this is. This is Judah. This is Baasha, the brother, the king of Israel. He has not drawn the line to attack. He has not even sent messengers to say, I'm coming to war against you. But he just begins to build the border post to block his people from entering Judah. This man, Asa, becomes threatened, and he takes it as a provocation against him. Instead of him going to fight against Baasha, he decided to go and hired King Ben-Hadad of Syria or Aram. And the Bible tells us that this time he decided to get the treasures, the dedicated treasures of the temple of the Lord, the silver and gold, and that which he had himself. He got all the money, all the wealth, and went to King Ben-Hadad and said, make an alliance with me. Go and fight Baasha on my behalf, just like you did for my father. And the Bible says that this man was very happy. Who don't love all the treasures of the temple and all the treasures of Judah come to him? He went after some cities of Israel, rooted them out. And when Baasha heard of that, he abandoned the construction and went back to Israel. Immediately after that was done, the Lord sent the prophet Hanan to go and confront him. He told him to say, he reminded them where I read from in chapter 16, to say, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans, 1 million soldiers that came against you, yet you trusted in me, you relied on me, and I helped you. But how come today the man who did not pose much threat to you, you decided to go and seek help from the enemy? Now, look at this. God had purposed it that Asa himself was supposed to defeat Aram, because we know, Pastor Michael preached last time about, you know, Aram, how the prophet Elisha, you know, told the king to shoot arrows, but he only shot 5 times, you know, a few moments, and then he stopped. It was prophetic to defeat this enemy. Aram was an enemy throughout the time in Israel. Even at the time of Elisha, again, in 2 Kings chapter 6, it is the same nation that came and wanted to capture the prophet of God, because every time they drew the battle plan, he was revealing it to the king. So this was an enemy, but this man decided to go and make a treat with him. And God told him to say, because you have done this, you have acted foolishly, Aram has escaped out of your hand. Amen. And even told him to say, from today, from now on, you'll be at war. Instead of having the rest which you are supposed to have, you'll be at war. And this provoked the king all the more. The Bible tells us that he got the prophet, as most kings were doing whenever they were displeased with the prophet of God, and threw him in prison. Soon after that, this man is going to be sick. His feet will be diseased. And the Bible says that instead of relying on the Lord while in his sickness, he decided to rely on his physicians until the day he died. Hallelujah. Relying on the Lord. Now, what can we learn from this portion of scripture today? Because we are not up to battles and, you know, putting soldiers in front and begin to rally against nations. No. We are here to draw some lessons from this man. We are seeing that in the beginning, he decided to trust in the Lord. He relied upon God. The word rely means to have full trust and confidence in someone. Full trust, not half, whereby you say, okay, let me try to give 50% and see how it goes, then I'll revert back. But it is full confidence. At first, when 1 million was on its way coming to attack him, he decided to rely on the Lord. I think all of us can resonate with that today, that whenever a big problem comes in our lives, we usually run to God. I do that. I don't know about you. Whenever a big problem comes, that's when we run after God and begin to seek his face, begin to pray. And after it just passes, then we say, praise God, hallelujah. That was the past. And then maybe we even go back to the things that we are doing. This man relied in the Lord in the beginning, but Later, he changed his mind. I want us to be encouraged this morning that we are to rely on the Lord all the time. Maybe somebody can be asking to say, how can we do this? We show that we rely on the Lord by believing in him alone. Remember, this man demonstrated a very good attitude at the beginning. He crushed all the altars, all the idol altars that were dedicated to the foreign gods. He crushed them down. And then he only promoted worship of Yahweh alone. That showed in practice that he had relied on the Lord. He had his total dependence upon God. Even when the battle came, when trouble came, he decided to seek the face of the Lord in prayer. And God heard him. But what changed? We do that also all the time. But what changed? What changes in the by and by? God granted him victory. And after that victory, God even sent another prophet by the name of Azariah. He told him to say, if you will continue to seek the Lord will be with you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Soon after that, he's going to do exactly what he was warned against. We should rely on the Lord by believing in this God all the time. Hallelujah. We should rely on this God by trusting in the Lord. As I've already mentioned, sometimes we say, okay, this time I'm going to trust in the Lord. After this passes, then I'll go my own way. There's that temptation. But we should trust in the Lord. Again, look at this. He trusted in the Lord when the big battle was coming and he prevailed. But when the small one, something insignificant, came up, this time he decided to use his philosophy and battle strategy. He said, I don't need to begin to pray and fast or waste time. This one is easy. I can sort it out myself. Just get some money and go and hire this man. Of course, it worked. Even when we are in disobedience of the Lord, some things may work. But what we need to be assured is that there are repercussions that will come thereafter. There are consequences that will follow. Am I sounding very hard and threatening? The church is very quiet. Praise the Lord. Okay, don't worry. We are good in Jesus' name. I've not come like Prophet Hanan to declare judgment. I'm just, praise the name of the Lord. So we are to rely on the Lord all the time in big problems and in smaller ones. Hallelujah. We are to do that. It is not good, even in insignificant problems, to trust in a human being. It is not good at all. In fact, not just any other human being, but an enemy. The one you know that God wants you to defeat, wants you to go after and defeat, is the same one you are going after and pay so that he can go and defeat another enemy for you. That doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Back in Africa, we have a culture of people, you know, I think even here it happens, you know, where people go to witch doctors to consult help. You know, maybe here it's the voodoo and so on and so forth, you know. To the palmist, the palm readers, you know, the fortune tellers, because every human being wants to be told what tomorrow holds. I think few of us would dispute that. If somebody came and said, I'm going to tell you everything about 1 year, you see, I will be jumping all of us. Hallelujah, let me hear it. Because we want to know about the future. So there is that temptation. In Africa, many people I've even seen people who call themselves Christians, but when a big problem hits them, they tend to lose faith and say, ah, no, let's go and see a traditional healer. They will not call him a witch doctor. They will say a traditional healer so that it sounds good. And then they will go. After that, the traditional healer is going to put them in covenants. They will open demonic doors and then they will be possessed. They will be oppressed. They will come back and then you begin to pray. Demons will begin to manifest. Then you are wondering, what happened? What happened? And then they will begin to say, oh, no, I went to Baba so and so and this is what happened. That happens. That is seeking help from the enemy. Jesus said, can Satan stand against himself? Can a demon cast out a demon? Or can Satan cast out Satan? Then it means he's not doing his job. So when we go to ask help from the enemy, we are blindly setting ourselves out to that very enemy. Just like King Asa did. The word of the Lord came to say, the very man you were supposed to defeat has escaped from your hands because of this covenant. May we not be the people that will go and make a covenant with the enemy in Jesus' name. May we be the people that are going to trust in the Lord all the time. Hallelujah. We are to rely on the Lord because God is the only sure help that we can have. He's the only one we can depend fully upon and is going to give us the guaranteed help which will last forever. Hallelujah. We need to trust in the Lord. He was taught, he was even reminded in chapter 16, verse 7 to 10, that for the eyes of the Lord go to and from the earth, looking for whom to help. Looking for who he can help. God's eyes are everywhere. He's looking out. He's looking out for you. He's looking out for me. He wants to help us. But are we ready to call upon him so that he can help us? This morning, I want us just to be encouraged to rely on the Lord. Let's not rely on our own wisdom. Let's not rely on our own knowledge. Let's rely on the Lord. And also, let's remember that sometimes, even the problems that we pass through, they come as a way of God ushering us back to himself. The Bible says that even in his sickness, he did not rely on the Lord, but on his physicians. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. Physicians are very good. Hallelujah. We all love doctors. I, for one, have seen the wonders that doctors have done. God uses the doctors to work out miracles in our lives. So let's not say, you know, as if they are not of use. No, 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 no. But the problem is to rely on them alone, not to rely on God. Last time I was amazed when I heard Dr. Sanjeev. He was saying that as he administers to the people in the hospital, whenever he finds time to pray, then you do it. I was like, wow, this is powerful. Amen. A doctor is also depending upon God. That is great. So doctors are very useful. They are very good. But they are also human beings whose lives are in the hands of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Working as a chaplain that time at Methodist Hospital of Southern California, I saw how important doctors are. And at the same time, I was able to see the limitation
of the doctors. Because the time came when the doctors had done all that they could. And then they said, there's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we can do. Hallelujah. So, this man, a man who was following God all this time, he decided to rely on the physicians and said, okay, this time I don't want to hear. In fact, he had already imprisoned the prophet. So, I don't think it was ideal, you know, to go and ask the prophet who is in prison to say the word of the Lord to me, because you are already upset with him, you know. But we are to rely on the Lord all the time. Even when we are passing through some troubles, we need to seek God and ask him to say, Lord, why has this come? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do with this issue? Do you want me to turn to you, or where have I missed it? Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that all the sickness that will come, you know, they are there because we have done something. No, not everything. Sickness will always come. It's inevitable as human beings, because that's a way also of going to heaven when the time comes. Amen. So we cannot avoid that fact. But there are some sickness that the Lord is going to bring. There are some situations or trouble that the Lord is going to bring upon our lives to become a signal, to usher us in the right path. Are we able to hearken his word when he's speaking to us? Or are we going to resist the correction? The king became upset in such a way that he was now resisting correction. We are to rely on the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that trust in the Lord always, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your paths straight. We are to rely on the Lord, not to rely on other people or to rely on ourselves. Sometimes, instead of relying on others, we do self-reliance. I've heard some people say, I don't trust anyone, I just trust myself. That's very dangerous. Amen. At least you should say, I trust God. Amen. Because even you yourself, you cannot really trust yourself. You are not perfect. We are not perfect. Only God is perfect. Hallelujah. So, let's not do self-reliance or relying on others. But let's rely on the Lord, because he's the one who knows our past, our present, and the future. And he will make our paths straight. When Hannah had received the blessing, she began to praise the Lord. And one of the powerful words that she said were in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. She said that, for the wicked shall be silenced in darkness. For the wicked shall be silenced in darkness. But the Lord will order the steps of the righteous. For by strength shall no man prevail. For by strength shall no man prevail. Hallelujah. By your own strength, by my own strength, by any other man's strength, by no means shall we prevail, except by the Lord. So we are to rely on the Lord, because only God is going to give us victory in everything that we do. Hallelujah. King Asa did it once, and then soon after that. Now, sometimes when we talk about him like this, we say, no, this man wasn't really a very good man. This is one of the kings who led the nation for a long period of time, a total number of 41 years. But he missed it in his 36th year. That's when he missed it. All the 36 years, he was just coming well in the fear of the Lord. And then towards the end of his life, he went astray. He relied on man. He relied on his plans. I pray that none of us is going to go off course in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But we'll continue to prevail in the Lord. May the Lord give us the grace to rely on Him alone. Many are the times, you know, that we usually have the temptation of going our plan B's. We call it plan B. We say God is plan A, but if it fails, there must be a contingency plan, plan B. That's the human plan. So, most of the times as Christians, we find ourselves in a dilemma of being like a little bit of double standard, whereby you are standing here and you are like, okay, this is for God. Lord, I'm pushing in faith. And then all of a sudden, nothing is happening. Then you shift. You are in another dimension. May God give us the grace to remain on one place. When we say we rely on God, come rain, come sunshine, let's stand firm in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something about relying on God. I earlier mentioned that there are some things that God will do in our lives in order to bring us in the course, to have His purpose work out to the glory of His name. When I was in high school, in my last year of the 12th grade, in 2005, towards the end of the year, I was chosen as the treasurer for the graduation team, and we were 100 students. And so, they started contributing money that was about $1. That's 10 kwacha in my currency. So, the money was contributed. And then, I'm not sure, it's not even $1. It has been long. It was a lot. Mary was also part of the team. We were in the same school. So after that money was contributed, it was a lot of money. And two teachers came and they said, you have to give us the money. We are going to keep the money. And then we had already heard the stories of the guys who had graduated earlier, you know, during their function, that these very teachers who were pretending to be patrons, they were using their money, eating their money, and then just end up, you know, give them a small function and everything. So my team, the students at that time, they said, Stephen, we are putting you here. We know that you are the karate instructor in this school. No one is going to scare you about the money issues. So be the treasurer. I said, yes, hallelujah. I'm going to do it. And so I had no problem with my fellow students, but the problem came from the teachers. So the teachers came and said, we want you to give us the money, and then we'll tell you what to do. I said, no. We have agreed as students that I'm going to keep the money, and then we'll be telling you the plans of the things that we want to do. He said, okay, you think you are very clever. So one of the teachers went to the principal, because we had made the graduation certificates in color. Very nice. We still have them up to now. Yeah. So, he went to the principal and told the principal to say, this boy is very stubborn. He's accusing us that we are going to eat the money. That's why he has refused. So he's calling us thieves. He has got no respect and, you know, accused me of different things that I never said. And so the principal said, wow, that's not a problem. Since on that certificate, as a principal, I'm supposed to sign, let him sign for the students. He's going to be the principal. And then he came and announced. He was like, yes, because you guys are stubborn and your treasurer is stubborn. The principal has refused to sign on the certificates. Stephen Mwanga is going to be your principal. He's going to sign and you put the stamp wherever he's going to get it from. And now you can imagine students hearing that. There was an uproar.
in school. So the only thing that you can do is to get back your monies. And if you want us to continue, give it to me. But we had already used the money, you know, to process the certificates and everything. So commotion started. So I decided to go to this principal to talk to her. She chased me just right from the door, and she saw me. She was like, "Get out. I don't talk to students. The teachers are my eyes." I said, "Wow." Now, that became very tense. Some students were drunkards and, you know, dagger smokers, marijuana and everything. So they were very upset. They were coming, "Stephen, what are we going to do?" I told them, "Calm down. The Lord is in control." At that time, I became a prayer warrior. I wasn't very serious with the things of God. But the only thing I decided to do was to start praying. For the period of 4 days, that's how that battle lasted. I was in prayer and fasting. I started praying. I had a headache, and it was close to our final exams week. I was just praying. I went to my dad. My dad wasn't a Christian, and my mom at that time. I went to them, "Listen to what is happening." In fact, mom was even the chief treasurer, because whenever I received the money, I was scared that I would plunder it. So I used to give to mom, you know. So dad told me to say, "You say you go to church, pray to your God so that he can help you." I started praying. I prayed. On the fourth day, I went to school. I wasn't even in the school uniform, to talk to the deputy. As I was talking to her, a man just entered and sat. He was listening. At the end, he said, "Madam, what's happening in here? I've heard what this boy has said. There is no any problem about everything that he has said. If this function is not going to happen, I am going to be with them. I'll give them the go-ahead." He was the PTA chairman. "I'll give them the go-ahead. They will do it. And if anything happens to them, you are going to be held accountable." The Lord sent an angel for me. Hallelujah. And so the deputy principal was like, No, "Mr. Chairman, it's not me. It's the big boss." And then he asked, he was like, "Where is she?" "She's in the office." He went there and he told her to say, "What is this I'm hearing about the graduation thing?" She tried to explain. The man was like, "Let them do it. I don't see any problem. This boy actually is just doing the right thing." And then, all of a sudden, I was called by the same principal. Actually, I mentioned that I went there once. I went there more than 6 times. She was even upset with me. Every time she saw me passing, she thought I was going to her office. And she told me, "You are a very stubborn chap." You know, she called me all sorts of names, but I was just pushing because of the call that God had given me at that time. Hallelujah. And so, after that, the head would call me, the principal, and say, "Because of your persistence, a parent came to speak on your behalf." But she didn't know that we were together in another office. "So this function is going to happen. And now I'm officially appointing you as a leader. Go and call for the assembly." I went and called all the students. And then she was standing here and she put me beside. I was promoted at that time. Hallelujah. Because of relying on the Lord, the day came when we had that graduation ceremony. It was very powerful. We had even invited one of the ministers in the government. He came and he spoke to us. And I remember the very principal coming. She put her head on my shoulder and began to prophesy. She said, "I am seeing greatness in you. God is going to raise you as a mighty leader." She spoke things and I see them coming to pass to the glory of the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So relying on the Lord, there are some things that God is going to make happen in your life that is going to make you in a corner so that you can only rely on him. My parents were there, but they had no capacity to go and speak on my behalf. It had to take a man I never knew. And the deputy even asked him to say,
How can I help you? What do you want, sir? He said, actually, I don't even know. I was just passing through. In my heart, I was like, no, you don't know. It's God who sent you. Hallelujah. So God will always raise a standard for his children when we rely on him. We should rely on God, not on ourselves. Even when the word of the Lord comes through the messenger or through a friend, through somebody, or maybe you are reading the word and the Lord is speaking to you, but it feels against your plan B, obey in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do not be upset. Sometimes we get offended when people begin to talk about things that are not in line with what we are thinking. We become furious. May God help us in Jesus' name. May we trust in him. Because as we follow and obey the Lord, removing that self-reliance is going to usher us into greatness, is going to heal us, is going to bless us, is going to give us rest and peace. But if we resist, we might miss it. Self-reliance is not good. Amen. Let me tell you one more story, then I'll be done. Now, this story was about ministry. Maybe I've shared it before, I don't know. So, in 2015, we had Daniel Korenda coming to Zambia. By then, he was the assistant to Renard Bonke. Some of you might know Renard Bonke, the evangelist, who has been doing revivals in Africa. Maybe here, I don't know. But now that is odd, Daniel Korenda has taken over now, his assistant. So there was a preparation for that meeting. And this man of God just called me to say, Stephen, I'm coming to pick you up. I'm taking you somewhere. He came. We went there. So it was a meeting in which pastors were being prepared. And we were about more than 2,500 pastors in a big place. And so pastors were being trained and thereafter give them the manuals to go and train their church members for that meeting. So I went there, attended just for about an hour, and then the pastor who took me there, he was about to leave, so he told me, just go to that pastor who is in charge of giving out the manuals. Ask for one. I need to go for work. I went to this man, and he started shouting at me, this pastor who was in charge. He was like, you've got so much pride. Why can't you just sit and wait until the program is finished? You want to go now. I'm not giving it to you. I looked at him. I said, my God. So I went back to this pastor. I was like, did you say a pastor or maybe someone else? He was like, he's a pastor. I said, no, that one. Mm-mm. The way he has answered me, I don't think he's a pastor. He said, no, he's a pastor. Go and talk to him. I went back to this man. The man shouted at me. I was very upset. I looked at him. I said, yeah, this is not so good anyway, but let me just go. So that same pastor said, okay, it's okay. My bishop already has one manual. I'm giving you mine. That's how we went. I told him on the way to say, I don't think this is a good beginning. This man is going to lead me into temptation. So I've stopped about this whole meeting. I'm not going to be part of it. He said, no. He laughed at me. He said, you yourself, you are calling yourself pastor. But why are you getting so offended so fast? I said, ah, no. But to cut the long story short, I went to pray and the Lord said, go back and be part of that meeting. And then when I was going, there were a lot of departments, interpreters, you know, when the evangelist is preaching, you are interpreting in the local language. I said, yes, I've been doing this in the Baptist church for the Americans who have been coming. That is mine. In fact, I need to tap the anointing from the evangelist by being close to him. And then as I was praying, the Lord told me to say, no, this is not your department. You are going to do security and protocol. I said, mm-mm. And in my country, we look at security, you know, to be a very minimal job. You know, it's not really a very exciting job. So, I heard the Lord saying, you are going to do security. And I was very offended. I said, is this God saying, or is just the enemy trying to downgrade me from the power of position that I'm about to take? And then the Lord kept on saying, security, security. I said, okay, no problem. I decided to tell my associate pastors from the church. I said, the Lord has told me that we are going to go to the security department. They said, no, us, we can go to security, but you find something else, a counselor or something. I said, no, security. That's how we went there. When we entered the place in which the security people were, I'm talking about self-reliance and relying on God. When we entered that meeting, as we were just entering, the man asked us, he was like, are you here for security and protocol? I said, yes, sir. He was like, what's your name? I said, Stephen Mwang. I said, come up here. I went. People were already seated. And then he was like, sit here. I sat beside him. I was wondering, I was like, what's happening? He was like, with immediate effect, I appoint you to be my secretary. I have fired the one who was there. I'm a military man. I don't work with people who are not serious. And then we started talking, only to discover that this man is the chaplain general of all forces in Zambia. I've seen him countless times on TV, but I couldn't recognize him because he would be in the combat and in the sheds and everything. And this is the man who was a pastor to Mary, my wife, at one time in the church she was worshiping. So I quickly introduced myself. Ah, you are the one. He said, yeah, I'm the one. I'm married to Mary. Ah, I know Mary, I know Mary. Not, yeah, this is the husband. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so from there, the man said, you know, the Lord just spoke to me when you entered that I have to work with you. And we worked with that man. This man will introduce me to the first Republican president. The first day the evangelist came, we went there. I was with him. I was just surprised. Some big bishops were even saying, young man, where are you going? I'm like, I'm the secretary to my chairman. You know? So we will be in charge now to take the evangelist from the hotel to the main auditorium and back until the day when the meeting was done. And soon after that, I'll be invited to go and minister on National Day of Prayer and Fasting through the connection of this man. Now, my self-reliance, my own wisdom and knowledge was saying that man mistreated me just on the first day. Second, I heard the Lord telling me to say, you have to go for security, but my ego was saying, no. This is a very low position. You need to go for the bigger one. But not knowing that the grace was in the smallest thing. Hallelujah. So, when we rely on the Lord, He's going to lead us to take steps that looks insignificant, and later they will become bigger steps in Jesus' name. When we rely on the Lord, He's going to cause us to win victories, even when we look to be incompetent. This man has only 580,000 against 1,000,000. But because he relied on the Lord, he prevailed. I would like us to be encouraged today that whatever that we may be going through, whatever that may be a challenge in our lives, let's just rely in the Lord. And He's going to lift us up and place us on a place where He wants us to be. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Call upon His holy name when you are in trouble. Even in your sickness, rely on the Lord. And He's going to raise a standard for you and me. May we stand up, please. Praise the Lord. I heard the worship team sing, I have seen you move the mountains. I know you will do it again. Something like that. That's a very powerful song. King Asa saw the Lord
move the mountains. And instead of him believing in the Lord that he would do it again, he decided to go his way. If we've been having that challenge today of being maybe double-minded, we don't know whether to continue in this faith or not. Sometimes we feel tempted not to trust in God anymore. I've heard people who say, I used to be a faithful Christian, but now I am no longer because of the things that I've gone through. I'm here to encourage us and to challenge us that it is the right time to rededicate our lives back to the Lord and is faithful. The prophet said, David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, after he was incited to count the census, which meant that he also relied on his army instead of the Lord, God sent the prophet Gad to tell him to say, choose among the three punishments what I'm going to do to you. Either to have pestilence over the land for 3 days, or for you to be running away, being chased by your enemies for 3 months, or famine in the land for 3 months. David said, I choose to fall in the hands of the Lord, because the Lord has great mercy. When I cry to him, he will hear and answer me, instead of falling in the hands of a man. Hallelujah. So today, we are here to rededicate our lives. If you feel that you have not been believing the Lord in your life, maybe you have not even made him yet as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are, you may just lift up that right hand and I'm going to help you pray and receive him to the glory of the name of the Lord. If some of us are thinking that they've been faithful at one point as being Christians, and yet because of the challenges that we went through, we decided maybe to leave that path and said, no, God does not answer prayer. Today is the day of rededication. Just lift up those hands and we are going to pray. And if maybe you have had that challenge of maybe of problems, of maybe sickness, God has been speaking to you to turn to him and you have not trusted in the Lord, today is the right day to make that decision in the name of Jesus. Just lift up those hands if you are in line of what I've said, or if you feel the faith, you know, is not really encouraged. Maybe your faith is drawing back. You are feeling weak. The Lord wants to revive you right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, come now, right now. Empower each one of us by the power of the name of the Lord. Father, we pray right now that every power of self-reliance, every power of relying on man, on depending on our own wisdom, Lord, we surrender it, Lord, this morning. We surrender our dependence on ourselves. We surrender our dependence, Lord, on people. But we choose to depend upon you, our God. For your word says that cursed is every man who trusts in man, who puts confidence in man. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the riverside. So we pray right now by the power of the name of the Lord. Revive that faith right now. Revive that soul right now. Heal that soul right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, lifting up every soul that has been discouraged because of the troubles of this world, because of the challenges of this world, because of the infirmities, because of the sicknesses, Lord, we pray by the power of the name of Jesus. Let the anointing move to break every chain. Let the anointing move to break every shackle right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We break every power of the enemy out of your lives. Let there be freedom. Let there be liberty right now. Let there be total dependence and reliance upon the Lord in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Set your children free right now. All those that have been sick, I declare the healing anointing to begin to touch you right now. Be healed by the power of the name of Jesus. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. All those whose faith has been drawing back, be revived by the power of the Spirit of God. Let there be strength over your life. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that all those who made wrong decisions by making covenants with the enemy, Lord, I command it broken by the power of the name of Jesus right now. I decree rededication. Rededication of their souls. Rededication of their hearts to you, O God. In the name of Jesus. Just as David said that, Lord, with you there is great mercy. We pray for mercy, Lord, over all the wrong decisions that we've made in the past. By relying on ourselves, by relying on other people, Lord, not you, O God. We pray that have mercy upon us, Lord. Hear our prayer this morning. And Lord, heal our sicknesses. Heal our diseases, Lord. Heal our souls. Restore our souls, O God. Build up that trust and confidence in us, that we may continue to depend upon you only, in the name of Jesus. For your word says in the book of Psalm 121 verse 1, that I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help comes from? For my help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the God who watches over us, and you never slumber nor sleepeth, O God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Watch over us right now. Watch over us, for your eyes moves to and fro the earth, O Lord, seeking those to help. We are here, Lord. Help us today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We declare divine assistance. And Lord, we choose to trust in you. Psalms 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that for some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Lord, we choose to trust in your holy name, in the mighty name of Jesus. For your word says in Psalm 125 verse 1 that for those who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. For as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We call upon your holy name today. Touch us. Meet us at our points of needs, Lord. Build the faith in us, Lord, to depend upon you totally. And we pray that, Lord, we shall not be like King Asa, after serving you, after trusting you for so many years, and yet wander away at the very end. But by your grace, we shall stand firm. We shall not be moved, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I hear the Spirit of God saying, is reviving the faith of all those who were about to give up. Your faith is revived right now in the name of Jesus. Just trust him. Just look to him. He's going to surprise you. He will grant you that testimony in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for that individual. I speak the uplifting power of the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. I speak your blessings upon your people, mighty God. Bless us today. Establish us, Lord, in you, O God. May we be planted without being moved. May we make decisions after hearing from you, Lord. And may we be the people that will not resist correction, Lord. When you correct us, just like the prophet corrected the king Asa, we will not resist correction, but we will embrace it because it works out for good to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. Father, I speak your blessings upon each one of us. Bless our coming in and bless our going out. In the mighty name of Jesus. May you grant us testimonies by trusting in you, that we may testify to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.